sitting here in this chair, waiting on you, oh baby, to see things my way. But not a word do you say.
Welcome to the late night version. It's your gracious host, Flit Town Boy, and you're listening to Rolls Royce. Hey, everybody. 11:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Late night grooves with Flint Town Boy. Welcome. It is December the 28th, 2025. Somebody I know who I don't care to talk about, named Sunshine. She's 38 today. You getting old.
Dreams of you and I go sailing by whenever your eyes meet mine.
You're so fine.
And girl, you make me feel so insecure. You're so beautiful, pure. Why must you be unkind? Still, I wanna get next to you. I wanna get next to you, baby.
Happy Merry Christmas, 2025, guys. Better Christmas than last year. It is now 11:26 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's up? Let's go through these scores because the Bears are down by 4 points with the ball, 38-42. They're on the march. Should we cut in on that game? Let's do that. Let's cut in on that game if we can. Yeah, let's see that clock ticking. I don't know, y'all. It's 30-some seconds. Can we get there in time? Can we get there in time? Come on, man. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Seven. The 49ers have been in this position before. You think about that thriller early in the year in LA where the 49ers won it on defense in overtime. And they do it again tonight. The one seed hanging in the balance in the NFC.
Someone's going to have to make a play on this defense. Someone is going to have to make a play.
40 seconds left. 49ers lead 42-38. Second down and 5 for the Bears.
Just old school.
26.
Old school 80s, 90s.
Caleb Williams in
playoff.
The shotgun, and he takes the snap.
Bears 49ers.
Williams is flushed out right. Throws on the move, and it's incomplete. He was looking for Duvernay. The 49ers haven't sacked him, but they created an incompletion. And now it's 3rd and 5.
And Robert Saleh comes with the corner blitz again, but this time Chase Lucas does not come from the edge. He inserts up inside and is able to get by Swift, force Caleb Williams out of the pocket, and he throws it short. Out there to his check down.
Each team with 2 timeouts. Bears at the San Francisco 26, 3rd down and 5. Williams remains in the shotgun. He's got Swift beside him, takes the snap, looks out to the right, throws into the flat, and it's dropped by Burton, and it's 4th down.
God damn it.
Burton had it in his hands. Lucas was right on his shoulder.
God damn it.
He couldn't bring it in. 4th down and 5, Chicago with 33 seconds left.
And an absolute rocket from Caleb Williams with Sam
Oakley. Come on, Caleb. Come on, Caleb.
The ball was a little bit high. Burton definitely should have held on to it. As he came in motion, Chase Lucas was tracking him, and he flat out dropped it. That would have been a 1st down. Here we go, the ball game, 4th and 5.
And Chicago will use a timeout. They've got one left. Well, is this all you can ask for on a late night?
I can ask for one more thing.
One more thing. 42-38 is the score.
And Robert Saleh's calling the whole defense over here on this timeout. Everyone with the exception of Cleve Farrell and Bryce Huff, making sure everybody here on this 4th down has got their ducks in line.
49ers 4th and 5,
y'all.
From being one game away from an NFC one seed and an NFC West title. Seattle comes in next week. Caleb Williams has been a magician so far this season for the Bears. He was a magician 1 week ago against the Packers in a thrilling win at home. Now he's trying to do it on the road. The faithful roaring here on 4th down and 5. 33 seconds to go.
That's where the Super Bowl is going to be.
49ers 26. 49ers lead by 4. This is the ball game. Caleb Williams drops back. Caleb Williams looking. He throws and he completes it. Loveland a 1st down inside the 20 to the 14. And the Bears convert it. And they take a timeout with 25 seconds to go.
Colston Loveland just said they catch D. Winters peeking to the inside. D is in a bug position. They got the linebackers up like they're blitzing. So D. Winters is going to drop. But he does not drop at the right angle. They got Loveland, who is split out, and he just finds the soft spot. D. Winters never saw him. He turned to the inside, trying to play the route that was coming behind him. Never saw the release of Colston Loveland, and that is just an easy 4th down conversion.
26 seconds. The Bears have no timeouts. The ball in the right hash. The Bears are going from left to right, and it's at the 13-yard line.
Make them earn it. No penalties down near the goal line.
49ers leading by 4, 42-38. Caleb Williams in the shotgun. He takes the snap. He drops back. He looks. He's pressured. He escapes and throws it out of bounds with 21 seconds on the clock.
Boy, good pressure by the 4-man front. Sam Okawanu, Etor Gross-Matos, Cleve Farrell, all having an impact. Bryce Huff, all of them.
Woo! What a good-ass game.
The Bears can get a 1st down down at the 3-yard line, but again, they have no timeouts. 21 seconds. 42-38, the 49ers lead. Caleb Williams with Swift, the back beside him in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Williams looks right, gets it out quick. Caught Loveland. It's a hook and ladder. It's Ryan. It's Swift. He's down to the 3-yard line. He's tackled there. That's a 1st down for the Bears.
10 seconds, 9 seconds, 8, 7.
They get up to the line of scrimmage with 6, with 5. They spike it with 4. And they're going to have a play, perhaps, for the game.
Wait, were they set at that spike down? Clearly they were. There was no call by the officials. That would have been a 10-second runoff. Game over.
42-38. What a play call. The looking ladder at the right numbers.
Yeah, that's the slant ladder. That's the classic Lions play from the last couple of
3
years.
3 seconds. 5 seconds,
good
guys.
Good tackle by Theomador Lenore and everybody else.
One play.
Here we go.
4 seconds left. One play.
4-point lead. Ball at the 2-yard line for the Bears.
Four seconds.
Here's the snap. Williams looking left. Williams looking right. Williams loops to the left. U-turns. Gets away from Huff. Still looking. Still looking. Backpedaling. Throws. And it is incomplete.
The ball game. Damn it, man.
Over.
Damn it.
The 49ers have won it.
No.
They come spilling onto the field.
No.
What an effort. What an effort by this 49ers defense.
No.
It is raucous here in Levi Stadium. And that's the 49ers are one game away from the one seed in the NFC.
So the Broncos.
What an incredible football game to be a part of. And really, Bryce Huff bringing the pressure off.
God,
the edge, forces Caleb Williams out of the pocket. Everybody plays.
What a hell of a game,
there
man.
There is nobody open for Caleb Williams. He's trying to hold it, trying to hold it, trying to hold it, trying to play the playground game outside the pocket. Luther Burden.
Oh, she was only 57.
Got an injury,
Marlon
but
Winston.
But eventually has to unload it as the pressure is bearing down on him, and it
from
skips
different
into
strokes.
The end zone incomplete. Unbelievable.
I didn't know she was just 57. She died. She was just 57, man. I thought she was older than that. Well, she probably always look older. Yeah. So many people done left here this year, y'all. So many people, man. It's a young lady on Facebook that I used to work with. They had the funeral for her cousin yesterday.
Got it! <he. laughs> Got
it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
At first it felt unreal, a quiet update, a sudden headline. And a name many hadn't heard in years, but instantly remembered. Melanie Watson had passed away. She was only 57. For many viewers, the news brought back memories of a different time, a different era of television.
Because
Melanie Watson wasn't just an actress. She was part of a show that defined the 1980s.
Different strokes.
But her story didn't begin or end on television. Melanie Watson was best known for her role as Kathy Gordon on the classic sitcom Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Her appearances were brief, but memorable. She stood out not because of flashy storylines, but because of presence. What many viewers didn't know at the time was that Melanie was living with a rare genetic condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, often known as brittle bone disease. It meant her bones were extremely fragile. Even small movements could lead to fractures. This wasn't something she hid. It was part of her life. And it shaped everything that came after. Despite the challenges, Melanie continued forward. But eventually, she stepped away from acting. Not because she disappeared, but because she chose a different path, a quieter one. After leaving Hollywood, Melanie devoted herself to helping others. She founded a nonprofit called Train Right, an organization focused on training shelter dogs to become service animals for people with disabilities. It wasn't a side project, it became her purpose. People close to her say this work meant everything to her. Helping others live more independent lives was where she felt most fulfilled. That's why the news of her passing hit so hard. According to her family, Melanie was hospitalized in Colorado Springs after suffering internal bleeding. Her condition declined quickly. Despite medical care, she passed away in the hospital. Her death was confirmed by her brother, who described her as strong, compassionate, and deeply committed to helping others. There were no signs of foul play. this was a medical tragedy. As the news spread, fans of different strokes began sharing memories. But so did people whose lives were changed by the work she did after television. That part of her story mattered just as much. Because Melanie Watson's legacy wasn't only about the role she played on screen. It was about resilience and choosing purpose even when life made things harder. She lived with pain, with limitations, and still chose to give. In a world that often remembers people only for their fame, Melanie Watson leaves behind something deeper: impact. Some lives shine brightly on screen. Others shine quietly in the lives they change. Melanie Watson did both.
Paul, I got this idea to tell you that you need to do the research, and if you're dating a black man, it is your responsibility to understand the history and the trauma of slavery.
It was one of your initial classes, one of the first classes you had. You noticed that it was predominantly non-black women who were going in there studying black men.
I started teaching a black male course because it was needed. You know, I noticed I started to get this population of white women.
Yeah.
But why they were there? When I began to kind of ask them, you know, in the hallways, under the, why are you taking this class? And I started to find, my boyfriend is, and I want to understand him and his family. Or, you know, I'm trying to date some of the men on the basketball team or football team or whatever. But I don't understand. Another 3 or 4 years after that, I noticed the population shifted from, you know, white women to Latinas. And the Latinas were coming in with the same kind of intensity.
You're literally telling me that you had a class that was dedicated to black men, where black women have an opportunity to study their men, understand what they're going through, understand how to relate to them better. And instead of us doing that, you have other women of other ethnic groups, other races going in, taking note, using that as ammo to get the quote-unquote best men out there. So it's like,
well, I got this idea to tell you that you need to do the research, and if you're dating a black man, it is your responsibility to understand the history and the trauma of slavery.
So, that last part won her, but she died today. I remember her on Different Strokes. Quite a bit of people from the cast of Different Strokes died.
At first, it felt...
Yeah.
If a man asks me for my number, I'm gonna give it to him. I don't care what he look like. And if I don't like him, I'm gonna throw an extra razzle dazzle in there and be like, yeah, make sure you text me right now or in the next 5 minutes, but don't play with me. Y'all.
First, it felt unreal.
Yeah, so. Hey, what's up, Flintonian, Stonian people? Flintonian, Stonian people out there. Happy, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This Christmas, like I say, was a little better for me because some things that was going on last year that I didn't, wasn't going on this year. With some family members. They got honey badgers in Florida. What the hell?
This is a honey badger. Nothing scares him. Keeps on coming.
The biggest problem facing those who want to eradicate the Burmese python is the sheer vastness of the region.
Deep within the deadly swamps of Florida's Everglades, a secret mission known as Operation Sawgrass quietly released honey badgers into the wild to wipe out the massive python invasion. For a long time, officials assured the public that this natural predator would be a safe savior, restoring balance to the ecosystem without risk. However, terrifying leaked footage has shattered that illusion, revealing a horrifying truth. These animals are not just hunting by instinct, but are coordinating their attacks with a discipline that defies nature itself. Thermal data now suggests that we may have accidentally triggered the rise of a super predator that is evolving far beyond our control. If the project was truly a success, why are authorities frantically scrubbing every trace of evidence? And what is actually lurking in the darkness, watching us with cold, calculating eyes instead of the gaze of a wild animal? The Midnight Leak. The story of what happened in the Florida Everglades begins not with an official report, but with unauthorized footage from 3 a.m. A trucker's shaky dash cam video from the desolate Tamiami Trail captured a biological anomaly. The headlights revealed a massive Burmese python, easily 4 meters long, but the focus was not the snake, but its attacker. A stocky, low-slung animal with a distinct white mantle, a honey badger, stood thousands of miles from its native Africa, staring down a predator 3 times its size. What made the footage go viral before its sudden removal was the unnatural precision of the attack. A normal predator would engage in a messy brawl. This creature did not.
I know of no other company that puts cardiovascular health at the center of their research and development.
It moved with machine-like efficiency, bypassing the snake's muscular coils to deliver a single crushing bite to the base of the skull. The python's nervous system was severed instantly. Within hours, the video was scrubbed from social media, flagged for graphic violence, but the deletion only fueled suspicion that this was no random pet escape. While the internet debated the clip, a more disturbing reality emerged from the mangrove forests. Local hunters began finding python carcasses that defied explanation. The snakes were not eaten, they were executed. The injuries were consistent, shattered craniums and specific organs removed, with the rest of the body untouched. This methodical pattern matched no native predator, neither alligator nor panther. The violence was too specific, suggesting a killer that knew exactly how to dismantle its enemy's anatomy for maximum damage in minimum time. At the same time, researchers monitoring ecological data noticed unsettling anomalies. For years, the data had shown a grim, steady decline as pythons consumed everything. Suddenly, without any official intervention, the mortality rate of adult pythons in remote sectors spiked dramatically. Field biologists checking trail cameras found only empty footage or fleeting blurred shadows moving with an aggression unlike any native species. The patterns suggested an animal patrolling territory with intent, not wandering. The atmosphere in local communities shifted from curiosity to quiet dread.
All right, so, Flint Town Boy is, celebrate, well, I don't know if I really celebrate Christmas, y'all, Xmas. I just got through Fridays and Sundays are usually my wash days. So when I'm at home, I usually wash Fridays or Saturdays. So today was wash day. I should have washed few days ago. Probably should have watched Friday. But hey, Sunday at work. Let's get to these scores like I was going to show you. I done got preoccupied. Let's get to them. I was going to get to them before we got to that game. What a game. San Francisco pulled it off. All right. Here we go. You know, we're going to start on Christmas, by the way. Is that okay with you guys? The Cowboys over the Commanders, 30-23. The Cowboys are 7-8-1. The Commanders are 4-12. The Detroit Lions lost to the Minnesota Vikings, 23-10. The Lions are eliminated. The Lions are 8-8. So are the Minnesota Vikings. My Denver Broncos won 20-13 over the Kansas City Chiefs. The Denver Broncos are 13-3. Kansas City Chiefs are 6-10. Saturday, and after the Broncos won Thursday, 2 days later on Saturday, the Texans went into Los Angeles, the Chargers, not the Rams, but played the Chargers. Beat them 20-16. They were up. They were up at one time 14-0, then 14-3. And it turned into a nail biter. I paid close attention to that game. Texans 11-5. Chargers also 11-5. The Baltimore Ravens 41-26 over the Green Bay Packers. The Baltimore Ravens are 8-8. The Packers are 9-6. Anyway, the Texans beating the Chargers gave the Denver Broncos the AFC West. Did not give them home field throughout. We're going to get to why that is. Now, let's get to these games, including this Bears 49ers game. The Cardinals lost to the Bengals, lost to the Cincinnati Bengals. 37-14. The Cardinals are 3-13. Cincinnati Bengals are 6-10. Oh my God, I can't talk about this. How did my Steelers beat the Lions last week? But this week they come back and lay an egg against the Browns. Even though Shedeur Sanders is showing out since he's been starting the last three or four games, go Shedeur. The Browns won 13-6. The Steelers are 9-7. The Browns are 4-12. I think if the Steelers would have won, that'd have clinched the division. And they beat the Browns. Because the Ravens are still a game back and they play at the end of the season. We're going to get to that in a minute. The Steelers and the Broncos finales are huge. The New Orleans Saints 34-26 over the Tennessee Titans. The New Orleans Saints 6-10. Tennessee Titans 3-13. Jacksonville came back and won. They were getting beat in most of this game. For most of this game, they were getting beat. 23-17, they won. They're 12-4, and the Colts are 8-8. We're going to have to deal with them again. They beat us last 2 weeks ago. That game was, I fell asleep during that game, but that game was kind of bad going into like the second half. The New England Patriots stomped a mudhole in the New York Jets, 42-10. Embarrassing the Jets are. They couldn't even they couldn't give us the one seed. The Patriots 13-3. The Jets 3-13. Wow. What a discrepancy. Oh. Seattle Seahawks 27-10 over the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers are 8-8. The Seattle Seahawks are 13-3. I think the Seahawks must play the 49ers, look like. Some of this stuff you can kind of add up. There are a lot of divisional games. Going to be huge next week. We're going to get into that. Giants 34-10 over the Las Vegas Raiders. Giants 3-13. Las Vegas Raiders 2-14. They almost came back and pulled it off. Philadelphia was up for a long time. They ended up winning 13-12 over the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills and the Philadelphia Eagles are both 11-5. 11-5. The game that we were playing, that I was playing just a few minutes ago, 49ers and Cowboys. 49ers and Bears, my bad. 49ers 42, the Chicago Bears 38. What a game. Both teams were 11-4. Well, now the Bears are 11-5, and the 49ers are 12-4. So I bet they got Seattle next week. I bet you they got Seattle next week. Whew. see what some of these games are. Okay, now. The Jets didn't do us no favor, because if the Jets had won, we would have the number one seed. But because the Jets, because we lost last week to the Jacksonville Jaguars, if we'd have won that game, I think we would have had the one seed and we would have won the AFC West. But nope, we want to make this hard, so it's going to come down to the last game of the season. So now we're going to go to the schedule the last week of the NFL season. It is some big games with divisions on the line. I was right. Look at Saturday's game. Division title up for grabs. The Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Panthers 8-8, Buccaneers 7-9. That's a 4:30 on Saturday start. The late game. All right, just with the win over the Bears. The Seahawks, 13-3, go up against the 49ers, 12-4. Let's see where these games are at. Where are these games at? All right, Tampa Bay's got the home field advantage, so it's at Tampa Bay and Carolina. Let's see. Forty-Niners and Seahawks. Where is that at? It's at San Francisco. San Francisco will be home. So if San Francisco win at home, they're the NFC West champions. If Tampa Bay win at home, they're the NFC South champions. Now we go to Sunday. Saints Falcons. 6-10 Saints. 6-9 Falcons. That is for the Did I say that game was for the South earlier? It is. Okay, this is not for the South. Panthers and Bucks is for the South. This is the NFC South too. But it is
up here.
What? Okay. Be careful. I'm on the podcast. I went from the video diary to the podcast. Can't say no names. Yeah. Because that one's going to go on. Nah. I'm going over these football games next week. You got the Bengals and Browns. They're both eliminated.
Well, you're going to be tired of work. You're going to go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I was getting ready, after I did this podcast, I was gonna go to sleep anyway. I'm just after I get through it, yeah. Bengals, Browns, 4-10 Browns, 4-12 Browns, 6-10 Bengals. That's not for nothing. Both of them are eliminated. Packers and Vikings, I think. This might be for the NFC North. Yeah, 9-6 Packers, 8-8 Vikings. Vikings will go to 9-8, and they'll go to 9. No. I think the Packers won the division. But the Bears might have won. Did the Bears win? The Bears lost. So, no, I think the Packers won the division already. The Vikings are not going to be in the playoffs. My bad. Cowboys, Giants. That's not for anything. They're both out. Texans, Jaguars. That's not for nothing. The Jaguars are in. The Texans are out. The Colts are out. Colts, Texans. Bills, Jets. The Bills are in. The Jets are out. Lions, Bears. The Lions are out. The Bears are in. Here we go. We made it to one of the big ones. The AFC West title is going to be decided. No, the AFC West is over. But the Chargers can upset the Broncos in Denver and spoil them from getting the one seed. So we got to win that home game. No matter what the Patriots do, if we win, we get the number one seed throughout the AFC. You can talk. I'm just doing, you know. Chiefs, Raiders, both of them are out. Don't matter. Cardinals are out. I think the Rams are in. Cardinals, Rams. Dolphins, Patriots. Dolphins out. Patriots in. Commanders, Eagles. Eagles in. Commanders out. Ravens, Steelers. This is for the NFC North. AFC North. So my Steelers have to win. Or they might not even get in. If the Broncos don't win, my Broncos lose, they're going to still get in. They already clinched the playoff berth with the division win. So both of my teams are in. I keep saying that. The Broncos won their division. The Steelers can win theirs with a win. I think they're at home. Hello? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're at home. The Steelers, I think. I think they're at home. Oh, yeah. They're at home. The Steelers are at home. They can win the division with this last game against the Ravens by winning at home. All right, y'all, I didn't want this podcast to go on too long. Just wanted to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And Flint Tomboy. I know I said Merry, but see, I ain't did a podcast since last month. Yeah, so they don't know that. I mean, well, at that time, Christmas hadn't passed yet. So I have to say it now because it's the first time I've did one since Chris, you know. So Merry Christmas and Happy New Year for you guys, and go Broncos, go Steelers. It is 12:00 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is now December the 29th, 2025. Flint Town Boy is out. Person on the phone, say out in Spanish or goodbye.
No, feliz año nuevo. Feliz Navidad y Feliz Año Nuevo. Buenas noches.
What
Merry
did you...
Christmas, Happy New Year, and good night.
All right. Peace out. Those of you in podcast land, I'm out.